Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Hub World Podcast. Today's episode will have us covering the essential 3D platformer games. My name is Mateo, and today I'm joined by...
Dino.
And Jules.
Whether you're joining us from YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify, be sure to like and subscribe. Now, let's get this essentials discussion going. It's been a while since we've recorded an episode. The last episode we recorded was the Paper Mario Partner Showdown, and that was recorded a while ago, but we had that episode banked and wanted to release it closer to the release of Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. We're all fresh off of beating that game. That was a fantastic experience. What a great game that was. But we ain't here to talk about Mario RPGs. We're here to talk about another genre that Mario is very famous for being in, and that is the 3D platformer. So if you haven't listened to one of our Essentials podcasts before, essentially what we're going to do is we are going to all pitch games that we think are the most essential games in the genre, and we're going to whittle that list down to 5 games throughout the course of the podcast. We're going to debate and discuss with the pros and cons of each game and eventually make this ultimate list of 5 games. And those will be our recommendations if you want to get into 3D platformers. So would anyone care to start this episode?
I guess I can give it a bit of a go. I don't want to steal Mateo's thunder because I automatically know what game he's going to mention right off the bat. But I actually wouldn't mind starting this off with something that is a bit of a combination of two of my hobbies growing up, and that is Lego and that is video games. I will have to say, basically, like, my heart really goes out to like any of those like mid-2000s Lego games, like the original ones, like Lego Star Wars 1 and 2, and then like Lego Indiana Jones and things like that. But for me, for a 3D platformer, I'm gonna have to go with Lego Star Wars. What's it called? The one that had the first two games, Lego Star Wars 3, I think. And that's the one that had the entirety of Lego Star Wars 1, which was the prequel trilogy, and Lego Star Wars 2, which is the original trilogy. And you get basically 2 full games in one, 6 complete stories, a bunch of characters, a bunch of really fun moments. And it's just a very nice, easy way to have all of those stories played in one. The Lego games have great humor. The character customization was really, really fun in that as well. So you can make your own character as you've been buying other characters in the series. There's a lot of collectibles. You build up in-game currency with it, which are the Lego studs. You can buy new characters and then use those new characters to have different abilities than other characters to go back into the levels and collect more things. And it was just a big, cohesive, fun gameplay loop that had me entertained for hours. So I'm going to say Lego Star Wars. It's a bit of an unconventional one to start off with, but I love those Lego games. They are great.
I believe the game you're thinking is called Lego Star Wars: The Complete Saga. I think Lego Star Wars 3 was like based on the Clone Wars TV show.
Oh, because Lego Star Wars was the original.
Was
the prequel trilogies. That was the first game. Then Lego Star Wars 2 was based off of the originals. And I think also that was like my main realization of this is what Star Wars is. And that's what brought me into the fandom.
Exactly. That's what brought me into it as well. I was not a Star Wars fan prior to those games coming out. And when I tell people that, they kind of cringe. But, don't judge me. You know, everyone in the fandom has an origin story. Unfortunately, ours comes from the video games. But yeah, I'll just piggyback off of what Gino said earlier. Surprise, surprise, I am going to add Banjo-Kazooie to the list. It is my favorite game of all time. I'll give the same spiel that I usually do, but an abridged version. Level design's fantastic. The music's fantastic. It really started the collectathon genre for platformers. The way the camera followed Banjo was very unique compared to Mario 64. I don't feel like the game gets enough credit for what it really pushed forward in games, like having dynamic sounds when Banjo goes underwater, the ability to learn moves as the game goes on in a 3D platformer hadn't been done before Banjo-Kazooie. Grunty's rhymes are fantastic. The writing in general is fantastic. It's just the complete package, and it's my favorite game of all time for that reason. So
it is a good choice. Not quite the Banjo game I would personally put on, but I am not the expert on Banjo.
Yeah, Jules, what do you got against Nuts and Bolts? Nuts and Bolts is a great game.
Technically a 3D platformer as well.
I guess since we're all speaking about our niches, I'll speak about one of mine. Not that they're niches, they're very popular games, but I would also like to throw out there, on the topic of 90s collectathons, another really, really strong contender for 3D platforming essentials is the Spyro series.
Yep.
Specifically, I'm going to nominate Spyro 2, Ripto's Rage. Like, if you've never played a Spyro game, the best way I can describe Spyro games is they're more relaxed than other 3D platformers, I find, because there's not as much emphasis on, in my opinion, like dying or like combat or anything like that. There are boss battles, but I really feel like they are ultimately like relaxed mini game based platforming challenges, and there's such a good variety of them, from like the flying missions to some of the alternate characters that appear in the second game, and then later the third game had a lot more. But, and again, like the collectathon aspect of like there's lots to collect in every world. You don't necessarily have to do it, but you can. And there's so many colorful characters and fun voice acting and incredible like gameplay mechanics that I think are really, really unique. And it really does push you to the limits of those gameplay elements. Some of them are not easy to do, and some of them take a lot to figure out. And I think that's what I ultimately like about Spyro versus something like Banjo-Kazooie or some of the Mario platformers, is I feel like those games are very like clear of like, here's the task that needs to be done to get the star or the jiggy. Whereas I feel like Spyro doesn't throw those things in your face. Like Spyro is very much, you kind of have to just figure it out. Like what in this world needs to be interacted with. And it's a lot more seamless. And it's, again, like a lot more relaxed. Like I don't feel like there's a lot of anxiety when it comes to Spyro. Although there is a lot of like, not die and try, but again, like platforming challenges where you do really have to time your jumps and your glides and your dashes and your power-ups really well to be able to complete them. And I like that they're that higher skill ceiling.
And definitely play the Reignited Trilogy version of Spyro 2 over the PS1 version if you've never played it before. That was my first experience playing a Spyro game based on your recommendation, Jules. And I love those games. They kind of all blend together to me because I've only played them once. But based on what everyone says, Spyro 2 is like, or 3, like those are the better on the trilogy. But yeah, like those games are fantastic. I really had no expectations going into it, and I was blown away. Like that was one of my favorite experiences from the last generation of consoles.
I'm going to go with another kind of like niche choice. I want to get it. I'm trying to think outside of the box and like what games in the past few years that's a 3D platformer that was just inherently fun that I had a lot of fun with. And
past few years, that's a tall order.
Honestly, I have to, I'm going to go out on a limb because this is this specific series' first ever entry into a 3D platforming, because it's normally been a 2D platformer, and the multiplayer in it that like Mateo and I played through this was absolutely fun. And the game that I have to choose is Kirby and the Forgotten Land. Recently, us here at the Hub World have been playing a lot of like the older Kirby games. And when it was time for this game to finally come out, Mateo and I played through it in co-op. And the Kirby formula works. The copy abilities were great. The boss fights were great. Just having that traditional 2D Kirby gameplay loop, but just blowing it open into a third dimension, it seamlessly worked. And I don't know why Nintendo hasn't tried this earlier, because it was just good fun. We had a lot of fun with it. And it's one of those types of games that Kirby games are like, okay, they're very easy and very cute, but it gets very hard very quickly in like the latter stages of the levels. Like I want to say like the last third of the game, I want to say, and like the last third, including like all of the secret content and like after the final boss, like post game stuff, I include that in like the last third of the game. Some of that stuff got very difficult. The boss battles got very challenging, and it was just fun. I had a lot of fun with it, and it might not make the final five, but I want to nominate kind of like more niche kind of Nintendo titles, I guess.
Kirby's venture into 3D was a long time coming. Like, we would say to each other for years, like, what do we need Nintendo to do? We want a new 3D Donkey Kong game, and we want Nintendo to put Kirby in 3D. And they nailed it on their first attempt. Like you said, Gino, like, I don't know if I would say the levels got harder towards the end. The challenging thing was to get all the objectives done, like the bonus objectives done in the same go around on those later levels. Like, we would reset being like, oh, someone has to beat the boss without taking a hit. So, like, one of us would be the cannon fodder for the boss and we would fight the boss or whatever. Like, there was always those types of objectives, which were always challenging. But yeah, like, I really want Nintendo to make another 3D Kirby game. I feel like, personally, this could be a hot take, but if I were to be in control of the Kirby franchise, I would want Kirby to stay in 3D for a while before going back, maybe doing like a remake of another 2D game. But like, yeah.
Or a remake of Air Ride.
Yes. They just started to scrape the surface with Kirby in 3D. I feel like there's a lot of ideas that we're not even thinking of that they could go about. Because, like, they didn't even do all the copy abilities in 3D that we've seen for years, right? Like, it was more about the mouthful mode stuff, like Kirby and the cone and all that stuff. But, like, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of ideas that they could create to propel Kirby into a higher echelon. So I was actually going to suggest Kirby in the Forgotten Land as well, Gino. So that's a very good suggestion. My next suggestion, I'll get one of the obvious ones out of the way. We got to have a Mario game on this list.
Yeah.
Mario being the, not the original 3D platformer. Mario 64 wasn't the original one. There was a 3D platformer that technically came out before Mario 64, but I'm not nominating Mario 64. Yep. I am nominating the best 3D Mario game, in my opinion, Super Mario Odyssey. This is the greatest 3D platformer ever made. Banjo-Kazooie is my favorite, but Mario Odyssey is the best, in my opinion. It's everything I wanted a sequel to Mario 64 to be like, but even though it's not technically like an official sequel to Mario 64, I loved all of the open worlds that you could explore. The platforming challenges were fantastic. You could change Mario's outfits in this game. The capture mechanic is game-changing, and I don't know how Nintendo, like, if they were to make a sequel to, or the next 3D Mario game, how they wouldn't bring that back, because I feel like, just like with Kirby, I feel like there's a lot they can do with just that mechanic alone. The music in Mario Odyssey is incredible. The whole, like, globe-trotting feel of the game, the nostalgia, the entire package is perfect. That was my game of the year in 2017. I know Breath of the Wild and a lot of games came out in 2017. It was a fantastic year, but Mario Odyssey is, I feel like, almost underrated when you look at the Switch's library now, because there's just so many games. And what it did for the Mario franchise, it kind of, like, after, like, Mario Galaxy 2 came out, I feel like the Mario franchise kind of went into a bit of a period of, like, blandness in a way, because, like, you had all these new Super Mario Bros. Games. 3D Land was okay. It was almost a return to form for the franchise. Like, it added, like, respectability back to Mario in a significant way. And now I look at it as, like, holy crap, like, we just got the greatest 3D platformer of all time, and no one's really talking about it. If you haven't played Mario Odyssey, you gotta play it just to see Bowser wearing a suit, okay?
Yeah. You gotta get the amiibos to be wedding toppers.
Yeah.
Cake toppers.
Yeah. Oh, I love this game so much. I was in the middle of replaying it, but then, you know, Tears of the Kingdom came out, and I had to play that, and then there's a whole bunch of other games that came out, and I just love that game to death.
I will say that, Mateo, I once believed, like you did, that Mario Odyssey was the greatest 3D Mario game. And I have since decided that that is not the case. And there's only one game that is deserving of that title, and it is Super Mario 3D World, which is, in my opinion, the most fun.
Plus Bowser's Fury.
Bowser's Fury is fine. I understand the whole collect-a-thon, Mario 64, Banjo-Kazooie, return to form thing. And at the time that Super Mario 3D World was announced, I was not open to the idea of Mario's collect-a-thon adventures being changed to something like that. And looking back, I think it's the best decision Nintendo ever made. I think Nintendo got to go back to that. And I think that Super Mario 3D World is hands down the most fun any single individual could ever have with a 3D platforming game in existence. Regardless of whether you feel like it's the best one, it is hands down the funnest one. Single player, multiplayer, it is the best experience you can have with a 3D platforming game. And I think that it rewards challenge. The later levels, especially the post-game levels, are absolutely incredible and offer a lot of challenge, way more than you would find in any of Mario's collect-a-thon outings. And I also feel like it offers a variety of gameplay opportunities because there's four characters that, while they play similar, also play different enough that they can have unique experiences, especially when you combine it with different amount of friends. That game is different if you play by yourself or with two people or with four people. Like, I think that they made something special with that game. They made something absolutely special with Mario 3D World. And I'm willing to say right now that I think it's very easily the best game, in my opinion, on the list that we've put down.
The thing with Mario 3D World, like I said, is like, in my opinion, you have to say it's the Bowser's Fury version. Not just because Bowser's Fury is a package that added onto the game is phenomenal, because it is, but they fine-tuned the base game as well. They made it faster, and that really, really, really helped that game, in my opinion. Like, not to say the original is bad. It's not bad. It's a fantastic game. But the Switch version is the definitive version of that game. Like, of all the ports Nintendo put for Wii U games on Switch, that one is by far the best. Even if they didn't add Bowser's Fury, what they did to that game improved it so much. And like, there's also the Captain Toad missions in there, which were a really nice like addition to the game. That created its own spinoff and is fantastic in its own right.
Shout out to Cappy T.
I don't remember, did the original Mario 3D World had the crown?
Crown did originate, yeah.
Low-key, that is one of the best things that they could do to increase competition among players, because I've found personally in previous multiplayer Mario games that you're kind of just like fighting against people for no reason. You were just gonna, like, you were just being a dick. You're picking up your friend and throwing them off the edge or whatever. But now you have a legitimate reason to basically fight or race your way to the end of the mission because you want to get the most amount of points, and the crown is a great incentive for that. Yeah. And that's one of my favorite parts of the game. It's a fantastic game.
I also just think that there's a lot of cool, unique gameplay opportunities in that game that are really, really fun. Like, some of the music levels are fantastic. The levels that, like,
Mario Kart level.
The Mario Kart level's okay. But yeah, the stuff like the music levels, the levels where, like, as you jump, it alters the platforms. The levels, like the double cherry as a power up, is insane. It's so good. Cat Mario, of course, like, naturally is super iconic now. Even just like the concept of the final boss not being a boss but being a platforming challenge, like, that was super, super refreshing.
Bowser's car too.
Or like, even like when you finish the lava world and you think you're done, and then it's like, no, there's a big carnival behind it. Like there's a lot of fun to go with that level. The music is fantastic. The presentation of the game is very fantastic. At the end of the day, like, looking at this list of games, like, there's some really good games, but like, nothing is as fun as playing 3D World. Like, 3D World's just like a blast. And it's so well designed. It's so, and like, the updated version is even better because, you know, it makes things a bit faster and adds Bowser's Fury, which is a nice single player experience if you were wanting something a little bit more contained.
I feel like Bowser's Fury, though, in itself is a great combination of both genres of 3D Mario, where you have the open world collectathon and like in a world base, and then you have the individual stylized, like, world 1-1, world 1-2, world 1-3, that kind of thing. Because you can explore the 3D open world, do whatever you got to do, but then in order for you to go out and get the collectible, right, you have to go through a standardized, like, level. And I feel like that's a great way to, like, merge the two of them. And it was a great small standalone experience. I feel like the next 3D game that they're going to do might be a bigger version of that. But it looks like we all agree that Mario 3D World is definitely going to have a spot here somewhere.
Definitely. So my next game that I'm going to be adding to the list is one that I probably would not have said years ago because I had never played a game in this series. But, you know, I bought a PlayStation 5 and I needed games to play. And one of the first real big games that came out on PS5 was Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. To this day, it's still the only Ratchet & Clank game I've played, but man, is that game fantastic. It was the real technical showcase of what the PS5 can do, having like the instantaneous portals where you were going from A to B immediately. And they had open world segments. From everything I've seen of Ratchet & Clank, the guns are so unique. I personally like Rivet as a character. Captain Quark is fantastic, but like I feel that game did not overstay its welcome. It wasn't short, but it still felt like a complete experience. And I have since bought like the original Ratchet & Clank remake that came out on PS4, and I'm going to try that one out. But I really think Rift Apart showed what a 3D platformer could be in a big open space. Like an open world almost. I just think that even though I haven't played the other ones, I think it probably would still stand the test of time being the best game in the series. Correct me if I'm wrong, because Jules, I know you've played every single Ratchet & Clank game.
I would say, so when I wrote down on my list a Ratchet & Clank game, I did write Rift Apart. I think that the Ratchet & Clank series has had some highs in its early games, as well as the games on the PS3. And there's a lot of games that people would debate to be the best ones. And I still think people would debate them even now. However, in my opinion, I think Rift Apart is by far the best one. It takes all the best parts of the original PS2 games and blends them with a lot of the updates that made the PS3 games great, as well as adding its own new spin on it. The story is really good. The new characters are fantastic. The new weapons and the new gameplay elements are incredible. Visually, it's stunning. Like, it's a really, really good game. Like, it is an incredible, incredible platformer.
Is Mr. Zircon in it?
I do not remember at this
point. One of the Zircons is in it. I think it was Zircon Jr.
I just remember that character from, like, watching some friends playing it, and Zircon was just, like, my favorite thing ever. He was great. Mr. Zircon will kill you. Anyway, speaking of adorable little robots, I have to actually I'm going to stay on the PlayStation train, and it's the PS5 tie-in game Astro's Playroom. It was a small experience. It was a pack-in tech demo for the controller, and by God, was it fun. The music was good. The platforming was great. It wasn't overly difficult. It showed you, yes, what the controller can do. And I gotta say, it's the best tech demo I've ever played, but it also was just adorable, fun, and full of just personality. And it was a short experience. It didn't overstay its welcome. And just, there was a lot of like Sony nostalgia in there. My Sony journey really just started on PSP with, like, I had a few games and I'm like, oh, I remember that. And then, like, just seeing all the little, like, TV crews, like, filming iconic scenes and moments in other Sony games, but it's just the other Astrobots doing it. And it kind of had, like, the Lego game sense of humor. And I really like that, like, quirky, kind of funny stuff where it's, like, again, it didn't take itself too seriously. And it was just fun. And now, with the recent Sony State of Play, we're getting a full game based off of this. Yes, sign me up. I'm there day one. I'm not pre-ordering, because don't pre-order, but I'm buying that game.
I thought I was going to be, like, pulling out this game that, like, no one thought about by saying Astro's Playroom, but yeah, that game legitimately was on my list.
It's a great platformer, and, like, the best use of motion controls and, like, hardware gimmicks blended with 3D platforming, and it's, like, so good that when we all played it, we're like, damn, one, like, this is a great game to include for free, but also, like, we want more of this. So when I heard that Astrobot was going to get announced in the PlayStation State of Play before I watched it, at first I was like, ah, like, that's all they're going to announce. And, like, after I watched it, I was like, all they announced was Astrobot. But then I, like, watched the trailer again. And I was like, oh no, damn, like, this game is probably going to be my game of the year. Like, I forget how good that game is, and having a full experience with that game, like, that's going to be one of the best platformers out there, like, period.
Yeah.
it's also going to be great just because it's just a giant meta reference to like everything else. Like, it is product placement, the game, but it's good.
And I still find myself every once in a while going into Astro's Playroom and just loading up one of those levels. They're super short. They're super fun. And then I just love the whole museum aspect of that game, like unlocking all these like in-game trophy, but like they're all PlayStation hardware and peripherals over the years. Like you can see like the PlayStation iToy, the PlayStation Move controller, the PS1 that had the screen on it. Like that, like as someone who is a game collector, seeing all that stuff is fantastic. I love it. And like Sony hasn't forgotten or where it's come from, right? Like PlayStation hasn't forgotten its roots.
Well, it's that same vibe that like Nintendo Land has, right? Exactly. Like, but except for Sony. Yeah. And that's what's really exciting about it, is it's such a cute, silly game to have all those references, but it really, and like even without the references, the gameplay would be strong enough that the game would have its own appeal. But the references also do help, because like it's really, really fun to like look for them and notice them. So I really do think that this deserves to be nominated right now, and I'm excited to maybe even do a little addendum to this episode after Astrobot comes out to see if it breaches our essentials that we put down. Because it is a very cool game. And I think PS5, you know, PS5 has and Sony have only released a handful of platformers on PS5. We've said two of them now, and there's one more, which was Sackboy's A Big Adventure, which also is a very solid platformer. I'm not going to nominate it. I'm just going to mention it right now, just because it's a very good platformer. It wouldn't make our five essentials, so I'm not going to bother saying it, but I know you two haven't played it, and you could play it. It's like Mario 3D World with licensed music.
That wasn't your nomination, then what is?
Is it Elden Ring?
Well, most of the things I actually have on my list have been said. I only have a few more. But one that I'm pretty confident with that I think I should mention, and I don't even know if you guys have played this, but you should. But It Takes Two is a really, really good platformer. And mind you, it's a game you really have to play with another person. But that makes it so unique and so incredible. And like honestly, like I kept hearing all the awards around this game. It was so good, and you know, I never buy into that.
Game of the year.
Yeah, I did win the game of the year. And then when I played it with Patrick. We played through the whole thing. It is a great, great platformer. And what's incredible about it is it's the kind of platformer that is changing up its identity every so often, kind of similar to like Mario Odyssey or Astro's Playroom, and nothing overstays its welcome. It always feels fresh, but it also requires like communication with the person you're playing with, because you have different roles. Like that's the thing, is you're not playing the same character, and in every level each character, like the characters have a different role. So if you were to play it a second time but just play as the other character, you'd get a completely different experience with the game. And there's so many cool gameplay mechanics in the game that just make it incredible. The concept is great, the story is really touching, and it's just fun. And honestly, there it gets really dark at one point. There's one scene that I literally was like, this is hard to watch. And I can't explain it to you, because I don't want to ruin it.
Oh, it's spoilers.
But you'd know exactly what it was when you played it, and you'd probably also be like, that was strangely dark. But it's a very good game. It's like, it deserves all the awards it won. I've played a lot of co-op games, and even some that were designed for two people, and I've never played a game like this that was like this fun and this cooperative. Because I find that there's like two ways that two-person games go. One way is that they're like so easy, or like the characters are so similar that it doesn't even feel like you both needed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're so frustratingly hard and your communication has to be so particular that you get angry with each other. And that's, you know, rewarding by the end, but frustrating to be part of. Whereas this game, it never felt like that. This game felt like there was challenge, but it was always like we're approaching it together, and it never felt like the reason it was tough was because of miscommunication. It felt like the reason it was tough is because of like needing to really just like work together and like try over and over again and try to like make things align. And I could continue to talk about this game forever, but it's an exceptional game. And I think everybody who has a partner who is a gamer should play this game. And I think even if you don't have a partner, I think it's worth playing if you have like a friend or a sibling who would want to play it. It's very, very good.
Dang, an EA game.
Yeah,
it was under their like indie or like publishing label, so it's not a true EA game.
Okay.
Not like the sports or whatever, like those other franchises they have. But speaking of games that have a bit of like a darker twist, this game's kind of a merger of two of my favorite things in the world: video games and Disney.
Oh.
Epic Mickey is a very, very interesting game. It was supposed to be a lot more ambitious than it actually ended up being, but I feel like the finished product that we did get is pretty good for a game that came out on the Wii in like 2009 or 2010, whenever it came out. But it brought back Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, which is fantastic. Everyone loves Oswald, but like the whole idea of the paint thinner taking away platforms and the paint building platforms, I think is really, really, really fantastic, especially in a platformer. And then the whole idea of like Mickey getting pulled into the world, the wasteland world, and basically the game focusing on forgotten icons of the Disney company, like, and even in Disneyland, like Disney history was brought back in this game. And that's why Oswald was there, because Oswald was the original mascot, but he got taken away from Walt Disney. So some of the bosses, like the It's a Small World clock is a boss in this game. And you have like characters from Peter Pan. You have some characters from original Disney shorts that are like the Gremlins. They're the main supporting characters in the game. Like the Disney history buff in me had a field day playing this game, because everything, there's references everywhere. And like there was 2D platforming segments that take you into the world of the Mickey Mouse black and white shorts. Like, it's just so good. The sequel added multiplayer and stuff, but I feel like Epic Mickey 2 really, really fell short, and I couldn't really forgive its shortcomings because it had beefier hardware to run on and everything like that. But Epic Mickey 1, I think, was a lot more creative, and the fact that it didn't have to focus on multiplayer really, really helped the game's vision. And I mean, there's a remake, or I don't even know if it's a remake or a remaster, because we haven't really seen much of it, but coming out on modern platforms. And I really hope that that version of the game can add a few of the ideas that had to be cut due to development time and whatever for the original game. Like, this is like one of my guilty pleasure games. I don't expect it to make it on the top five, but it's one that I think deserves to be recognized more than an honorable mention, because like this was supposed to be a big push for the Disney company, and it has become forgotten, similar to all a lot of those old Disney IP that this game brought back to show everyone. So it kind of it's kind of weird. Like it's in this like pocket of Disney history that doesn't get talked about. So it's kind of fitting that I guess the game is that way. But yeah, I had to put Epic Mickey on there for my last pick.
Honestly, I don't think I really have another one. Jules, if you wanna go ahead of me, and I'm maybe gonna try to think of another one, but I got nothing right now, because I feel like all the big ones that I wanted to say have already been said. And I feel like I don't wanna really like beat a dead horse or overstay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the only other one that I feel the need, I mean, I have one other one other than this one, but we'll see. The only other one I want to kind of mention is Crash Bandicoot's another big one for Sony and then later Activision, that I think is worth mentioning.
And later Microsoft.
yes. Well, TBD. And like personally, I again would go with the second game, which is where I really feel like Crash Bandicoot found its footing. To be honest, the first game is fantastic and has some incredible platforming, and I do have a very sweet spot for the first game. However, especially on an essentials list, I would not condemn many to that game, because it is very, very hard. It's like telling people to play Super Mario, the Lost Levels, as a 2D platformer, which I love because it's all crazy platforming challenges, but it's also not really good for an essentials list. So again, like if I'm going to look at what to recommend, I'm going to say Crash Bandicoot 2, although all the Crash Bandicoot games are really, really good. The fourth one particularly, actually, I think is the best one gameplay-wise. The only reason I'm not putting it here is because I believe that there are very valid criticisms around the collecting aspect of that game, which is that if you're going for 100% in Crash Bandicoot 4, you're going to have a bad time. If you just play it and enjoy it, it's the best one. If you go for 100%, it is easily the just most atrociously tedious one. Crash Bandicoot 2 is the best balance of, it has a bit of the challenge to 100% it that Crash Bandicoot 1 had, but nothing overly crazy. The levels are good. If you just want to play it and not collect, there's enough content there for you, but collecting isn't like a massive undertaking. And while there's challenge, it's not anything too overwhelming. But like Crash Bandicoot ultimately is, in my opinion, one of those games that is very focused on the actual platforming. Like it's not, I feel like the rest of the games on this list, while they have platforming and platforming puzzles and challenges, there's a lot of like collecting or exploring or whatever it is. Like Crash Bandicoot is like a lot of the time jump to jump. Like there's it's no very much. Yeah, there's no filler. It's literally like jump to jump. Like that's what it is. It's like you are legitimately trying to platform almost all the time, and some of those levels are like literally like making 7 to 15 jumps in a row before your next checkpoint, and all of them are challenging. Like that's just kind of how it is, and so that's what made it famous, right? Like what made Crash famous is it was marketed very much as like Big Boy Mario in terms of the challenge. It really was. So I can't not say Crash Bandicoot on here. So I'll go with Crash Bandicoot 2.
Gino, did you have another one?
I'm having a hard time just differentiating between like, okay, like a 3D action game versus a 3D platformer. Because like, oh, okay, yeah, there's certain 3D games that I know of and I enjoy, but like the focus really isn't about like jumping or collecting things. It's more just like, oh, there's a shooter aspect in it, and then I wouldn't really count that. Yeah, I think I'm gonna take a step back. I think I'm done.
Even though I don't have another one I want to put forward to the list, I have a handful of honorable mentions that I just want to quickly talk about. One of them I feel like could be on this list if it gets a complete remake, and that's Sonic Adventure.
That was on mine too. Yeah,
that game has not aged well. Neither is Sonic Adventure 2, in my opinion.
I'd say 2 was aged worse.
They both have not aged well.
They both aged very badly.
It's a very impactful game. Like it was Sonic's first 3D adventure, and it was the launch title for the Sega Dreamcast. Like, it's been re-released so many times, and it is one of the most iconic games in the Sonic series. So Sega's been teasing and saying like they know adventure fans want those games to come back, and I just hope one day they will. And if they do, maybe we revise this list if the game is good, because you have to say that with Sonic. Like, Sonic doesn't have the best track record, but I feel like if they do the remakes of the adventure games, either of them, they have to be really good. Just don't do them if they're not going to be good. So I had Sonic Adventure. Also, another game that I would like to see come back, but probably won't, because Yuji Naka is a real piece of work. Another Sega game made by Sonic Team, Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg. This is just a very selfish one to bring up, but never been re-released. The multiplayer is fantastic. It's a really cool, innovative way to platform, because you're pushing an egg around, and the egg is essentially the character. The person isn't. Like, the person isn't what you control. You control the egg, really. And the momentum and stuff you get with that's fantastic. I won't go into it. If you can find a cheap copy, I highly suggest playing it. Conker's Bad Fur Day is another great Rare platformer on the Nintendo 64. You can get it for dirt cheap on Rare Replay, and that's the better version. It's been enhanced. All the references are fantastic, even though some of them are a little dated. It's got the greatest boss fight in any video game I've ever played.
Yep.
If you know, you know.
Yep.
And just knowing what that game originally was supposed to be and what we ended up getting is still cracks me up. I read through the Nintendo powers and see it. But Bad Fur Day's platforming isn't what makes the game so special.
It's not good.
Yeah, and then the last one I think is a really underrated Nintendo game and one that I hope one day Nintendo kind of revisits the series in 3D, and that's Wario World. Wario World is like a beat-em-up 3D platformer, and it works really well. Even though the game is super short and it's not as creative as I wanted it to be growing up, but I still have to recognize that it's still really good. Wario in 3D works, and this game proved that it worked. Wario, outside of WarioWare, just needs to keep going, because it's been way too long since we have seen Wario in his own game, in his original outfit, not doing micro games. If we can get that back in any way, shape, or form, I'd be completely down for it. But my preference would be a new Wario 3D platformer. So Wario World's fantastic. It's really expensive, but like with Billy Hatcher, if you can find it, play it, because it's really, really fun. So those are my four honorable mentions.
I will also honorably mention Chameleon Twist. Needs a revival. Great N64 platformer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm surprised you guys didn't mention it. You mentioned Sonic Adventure and Sonic Adventure 2, but you didn't mention Sonic 06. And I know Sonic 06 is too essential for this list, which is the only reason I didn't put it on, because, you know, I don't want to just have the same great games on all of our lists. But I'll honorably mention Sonic 06. In no other game can you jump onto solid ground and fall through the floor. That's how good you have to be at platforming to win, is you need to know which parts of the floor you're allowed to jump on with no visual indication.
Play the fan mod. It fixes all of that stuff and makes the game fun.
And makes the game easy.
No, modded Sonic 06, where the fans are going in and fixing it, fantastic. What we originally got, Mateo and I booted up 360 and tried playing it. I feel like if it didn't have all the bugs, Jules, easily it's on this list.
Agreed. Thank you. Thank you for understanding my plight.
Because it is awful, it cannot be.
Before we get into the deliberation, the one game I'm surprised no one brought up was the game that made it to the semifinals of our Nintendo 64 game showdown, Donkey Kong 64. But it is too late.
Yeah, DK64, I did want to talk about it, but I wouldn't recommend that as someone's first thing first entry into a 3D platformer. That's
not after even as an honorable mention.
No, it's too difficult and it's too big.
It's not difficult, it's just too big, exactly.
No, there's too much.
Yeah. But in any case, let's deliberate a little bit. So we have 11 games here. Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga, Banjo-Kazooie, Spyro 2, Ripto's Rage, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, Super Mario Odyssey, Super Mario 3D World, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, Astro's Playroom, It Takes Two, Epic Mickey, and Crash Bandicoot 2.
I would like to nominate one game for the list right away, because I feel like we also have to take accessibility into account. It's one game is free and comes packed in with your console, and that's Astro.
That's not free. That's $550.
It's more than that.
But if you buy a PlayStation, you also then can go out and get other games and stuff as well.
If I'm being honest, I actually think the opposite. I think the first game we can remove from this list is Astro's Playroom, not because it's not fantastic, but because it is not a full game. And tentatively, I'd like to not put it on here because the full-fledged game is coming out later. And it was a cool, fun demo. And I think it has a lot of potential, but I am not comfortable throwing it on this list. I've had a full-fledged, incredible 3D platformers.
Hear me out. This is why it should be on the list. It's because if we're suggesting this list for someone who has never played before, chances are they already have a PS5 for FIFA or Call of Duty. So you'd be like, hey, that tie-in game that you got is a short enough experience. You can try out to see if you like this type of thing. And if you like it, you can wait and get the next
one. No, that's not how this works. Otherwise, we would have suggested, I don't know, we would have suggested Mario Kart Wii was the essential Wii game because it came packed in with like more than half of the Wii's release. No, that's not how this works. That's not the only metric.
I agree with Jules. It's like if we were to put like Wii Sports or Nintendo Land or like one of those games that are clearly made to show off the what the system's capable of.
If we did this 3 weeks ago before Astrobot got announced, I would consider it. But because we know that the actual full game is coming, I am not comfortable putting on this list. I'd like to wait till we can come back. We can do a short when Astrobot releases and debate whether Astrobot should take the spot of one of our five. Absolutely. I'm totally down to do that in September, but I'm not comfortable putting Astro's Playroom in our five top 3D platformers.
I wanted to just plant the seeds of that in there because it's just, I feel like we will be having this conversation again when that game comes out.
Sure, and that's fine. We'll have it then.
And putting the original on there is an easy swap.
Sure. Again, there's full-ass games here. I will suggest, I think we can put one onto the list right now, as we are known to have Banjo bias on the Hub World, and there's no way in hell we're not going to put Banjo Kazooie on the list, so let's not even try to beat around the bush. We're putting Banjo Kazooie on the essentials list.
Dang right.
Okay, there you go. It
deserves to be there, though.
I don't think on everybody's list, but this is the Hub World's list, and I think all three of us believe in Banjo Kazooie enough that it should be here. As funny as it is, it's kind of the retro rep here, because like ultimately it is the best N64 platformer. Like, it is. Well, or Banjo-Tooie.
Banjo-Tooie is not on the list.
Sure, it's not on the list because I'm not going to fight, because I already know I'll lose that battle, but I'm comfortable with Banjo-Kazooie. But also, Banjo-Kazooie is better for a first-timer. Like, Banjo-Tooie, even as somebody who played Banjo-Tooie first, I think Banjo-Kazooie first is better.
There's not as much complexity to it. There's beauty in its simplicity. I can straight up say we can take Epic Mickey off. That was my, like, guilty pleasure sort of edition that I really wanted to talk about. It's list material, but it's not the final five material. I agree. So I'll take Epic Mickey off.
I feel like we can put Mario 3D World on because all of us had a lot of fun with it. And it represents one side of a 3D Mario game.
It also just represents one side of a platforming game, because there isn't really another game on this list that's like it. The only thing that comes close is actually Kirby and the Forgotten Land. And if I'm being honest, those games shouldn't even be spoken in the same sentence when you're comparing what's a better 3D platformer. Although Kirby and the Forgotten Land is very good.
It is. It's fantastic in its own right. And it was the first shot at a 3D platformer, and it nailed it.
It's really good. No, I'm not saying it's not.
The next game in that style for Kirby is going to be fantastic.
I agree with
you. Imagine doing that with Robobot stuff.
We talked a lot about 3D World when you nominated it, Jules, and it was on my five before you even said that. Like, I think that what you said about that game was the best sales pitch I've ever heard on that game. It's that good. And, like, Bowser's Fury is literally icing on the cake.
Exactly what I was going to say.
That game is perfect, and then they added something also fantastic to the package.
Yeah.
So
that's three.
No, there's two. Seven left.
Now, much as I love LEGO Star Wars, LEGO Star Wars The Complete Saga isn't even the best LEGO Star Wars game.
I would say the original LEGO Star Wars games are better than the one that came out most recently. I feel like the one that came out most recently.
I am not talking about the Skywalker Saga. I'm talking about LEGO Star Wars The Force Awakens. LEGO Star Wars The Force Awakens is the best LEGO Star Wars game. Skywalker Saga, I think, it's way too big, and it's way too tedious.
It's using the new LEGO formula and all that stuff. I get it.
Yeah.
But I like the old level-based stuff, and that's why that's why I put forward the one that I had most fun with. And honestly, like, even LEGO Marvel and LEGO DC Super Heroes.
LEGO DC Super Heroes is the best LEGO game, in my opinion. The third one.
Hands down.
Because, like, I love the LEGO game, but for me, the LEGO games are a co-op, like a multiplayer experience. And ever since the new games went to split screen, I cannot stand them. Like, I actually cannot even play the new games. Like, I could play them solo, but I don't have fun playing LEGO games solo. Like, I like playing with one or two people. And ever since they went to split screen when you're playing, I can't do it. I actually don't like the games. Like, I agree with you, Gino, that LEGO Star Wars The Complete Saga is, in my opinion, the best LEGO Star Wars. And I think LEGO Star Wars is the best LEGO game. And I actually agree with that choice as the representative.
But basically, the question is, Is LEGO Star Wars The Complete Saga good enough to be on the list?
In my opinion, it is not. In my opinion.
I don't think it is either.
That one was my kind of like greedy pick. Like,
yeah, the Traveler's Tales Lego games, you kind of just can't pick one. Like, they're all very, very similar. It's just there's a different skin over them. It's not like you're playing, like, Lego Star Wars 3, it's not that much different compared to Lego Indiana Jones or Lego Batman or Lego Harry Potter. Like, it's the same skeleton of a game. So, like, in a way, I kind of feel like that kind of detracts it because they flooded the market with, like, two of these games every year for, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I personally think we can cut Lego Star Wars. So.
Okay.
Ah!
So then we have 6 games left. I'm going to evoke my power here just to narrow it down a little bit more. Because if we're operating on Banjo bias because of the hub world, we're also operating on Spyro bias. And I'm removing Crash Bandicoot. Because I know most people say Crash Bandicoot's better than Spyro. Not in this hub world.
No.
Spyro's better than Crash Bandicoot. And I will die on that hill. I will support Spyro 2. And I will support... You know what? I'll save this for the sign-off.
Tell me how you guys feel about this. How would you feel if there were 2 Mario games on the list?
I'm expecting 2 Mario games on this list.
I think the only compromisable, acceptable way to have put 2 Mario games on this list were to have Mario 3D World and one of the collectathons. That's like, I wouldn't have accepted, if the 2 games we were debating here were Mario 64 and Mario Odyssey, I'd be like, no, you gotta take one. But 3D World and Odyssey, both of them can be on there. Those are completely different experiences. Those are not even remotely... Like, yes, they both star Mario, but they star Mario in vastly different contexts. They're very different games. They're formatted very, very differently. Like, I'm perfectly comfortable having both. And I honestly think Mario Odyssey should be on this list.
So we have 2 more spots left.
Yeah, and we have Spyro 2, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, and It Takes Two. So in my opinion, this is how I would look at it. Spyro 2, yes, it's from the 90s, mind you, but Spyro 2, the reason it's good is because it built off of all the great things that were in the first Spyro game and made a better, more refined game. Ratchet & Clank is a summative game of, like, over a decade of Ratchet & Clank games culminating in this really, really exciting, in my opinion, perfect Ratchet & Clank game, and It Takes Two is one of those rare games that, like, the first one was, like, incredible.
So we have 2 spots and 3 games.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think it just depends where you want to go with this.
I think we could probably all agree on Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, because we've all played it.
Yeah. I haven't played that specific game, but I have played the other Ratchet & Clank games, and I've enjoyed them.
Yeah, and I think Ratchet & Clank has the unique aspect to it where...
Of being a shooter.
It's like a hybrid platformer shooter. It's very unique as a series. It's also very storied, right? Like, it's not just this, like, whatever game. Like, it really is a storied franchise, and this is the pinnacle of that storied franchise. And it's so fun. Like, the characters are great. The story is great. Like, it's a blast. So I do think that that should go there. So then it's just a matter of these two.
It Takes Two is a game I really, really want to play, and Spyro 2, Ripto's Rage is a game I have played. But
yes,
I honestly don't know which one to pick, because, like, I can't really say much for It Takes Two. But like I said with Spyro 2, and this is just a me thing, but, like, the Spyro games, because I played them back to back to back, they all sort of bleed together in my mind.
Yeah, that's the thing about Spyro. So I love Spyro. I think it's a very chill platformer. I do think Spyro is a really great platformer. I do think, and this goes for Crash and Spyro, I do believe that it does have that phenomenon of the games kind of blend together. And I know part of that is, like, because the trilogies got released, and that's how some people experience them. I experienced them back on PS1, so I did experience them individually. But that being said, I do think that Spyro as a series, when you play it now, does feel, I don't want to say dated. I don't think dated is the right word.
It's not
dated, yeah. But it's been surpassed is the way I want to look at it. Is like, if they did a new Spyro, like when they did Crash 4, for example, and I think that that's the best way I could look at it. When I played Crash Bandicoot 4, mind you, like, again, there's all those criticisms about it, but when I played it, I was like, wow, this is the best Crash game because it takes everything that the first three Crash games did back in the day and it modernizes them, and it goes further with them. Like, this is like a natural evolution without like doing what the Activision era had done, like the early Activision era where they just like messed it all up. Like, it really was like very, like, it was handled very, very well by Toys for Bob. Spyro's that series where I'm like, if we made this list in the 2000s, I would even say like up until 2015, I'd probably say Spyro would maybe be on there, but we've been lucky enough to have a resurgence of 3D platformers in the last 10 years. And a lot of those 3D platformers have proved to us that there's a reason that 3D platformers now are actually consistently better than some of the ones we remember from back then. And it's because there is so much to improve on. So I think if we look at Banjo-Kazooie as like our blueprint, essential, it's like our older game that's like, here's where it started. And even though Banjo-Kazooie has aged a little bit, I would argue has not aged the same way that something like Spyro or Mario 64 has. I think it's the most timeless of the 90s platformers by far. And then we have these modern games that are inspired by previous games, right? Ratchet and Clank takes the legacy not only of Ratchet and Clank, but also takes the legacy of Spyro, right? Like, Insomniac created the first three Spyro games, and Ratchet and Clank is the successor to Spyro. So some of the ideas, some of the humor, some of the charm from Spyro persists into Ratchet and Clank. And then Mario, we look at two very, very different modes of Mario, right? We see a like multiplayer level based Mario that pulls the best of the 2D platforming genre and mixes it into a 3D aspect. And then we have Odyssey, which is the natural evolution of the collectathon. And then, in my opinion, that's why I think It Takes Two is a really good game to throw on here, because it is something very, very unique. It's a platformer that relies on two people. Like, you cannot play that game by yourself, but it's also not just like Super Mario 3D World where it's like, okay, everybody's kind of on equal playing field. Like, it's so cooperative. Like, to have like a cooperative 3D platformer is really, really cool. And it does do it well, and I really, really do encourage you guys to play it. I think you guys would really like it.
Jules, I will defer to your best judgment.
It is on the growing backlog.
Maybe it's just holding the spot for Astrobot. We'll see.
We all know it is.
We hope it is. Well, not hope, because It Takes Two is good.
Well, then maybe it just took two Astrobot games for Astrobot to make the list.
Honestly, I'm happy with the discussion we had, because I didn't think this would be that long of a discussion. I thought it would be a very, very easy... It still kind of was easy, but like, there's games that we nominated that I didn't even think about as being 3D platformers. So
yeah, I think there's a good variety too. Like, this is a good entry point for everybody. And none of these games are alike. Like, the only game that are similar, of course, like, Mario games are going to be Mario, but they're very different Mario games. And then Banjo-Kazooie and Mario Odyssey are the same genre of 3D platformer.
It's a different scale
for sure. And again, like, this is like a really good variety. Like, this is a very strong variety of 3D platformers. This is probably one of our best essentials lists, I think.
Yep, can't wait for the 3D action game when we have Ocarina of Time on there.
I don't even think we could make a 3D action game essentials, because there's too many 3D action games.
I know, Elden Ring would just win, right? So just like Elden Ring clearly won here.
Anyways, that brings us to the end of today's episode. If you liked what you heard today, hit that like, subscribe, or follow button. If you want to contribute to the conversation, let us know any ideas you have for any upcoming episodes, or just share what you thought. Leave us a comment. Did we miss any 3D platformers that you really like, or what do you think of the ones that we picked? We'll see you next time at the Hub World. Microsoft, make a new Banjo game.
And a new Spyro game.
See everyone.
Bye. Wahey!